worship this morning. Amen. He is Jehovah. We celebrate you, O God.
Call the name.
great name. Your great name. There's no other name that is higher than your name. No cancer can stand in your presence. No disease can stand in your presence. We bless you, Lord. We bless you. There's none like him. None like you, oh Lord. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you, Lord. Messiah, Redeemer. You know, that's what we have to celebrate today, our redemption. You know, we were all in that place of darkness at one time in our life. You know, all have sinned and come short. We all fell short. But he made a way for us to be redeemed unto him, to be redeemed unto God. He done that for us. That's why we lift our hands. That's why we twirl these flags. That's why we celebrate Jesus Messiah. He is the great King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. So amazing, his love so amazing, Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed. Messiah. Jesus, Lord of lords and King of kings. We bless you this morning, oh God. We bless you, the only one worthy. He's the only one worthy. There's no one like you. To put other gods that people believe in beside him is an insult. Of this earth have died for you. No other gods of this earth have done what he's done for you. He made a way. He redeemed you from hell. He redeemed you from the pit. We bless your name, Jesus, the worthy King of kings and Lord of lords. We bless you. Thank you. 'Cause your name is power.
Be seated. Sheree, if you'll come, we want to give you a little update on our last load that we took, and I think she's got a couple pictures, and it's humbling. Yeah, there you go. So if you've got that ready, Terry, as Sheree talks, we'll get the pictures.
This was the pastor that the DOT inspector put me in touch with, and we need to keep him in our prayers. The poor fellow broke his ankle. They put him in a boot. He went back. It was healing. He went back again, and he had re-broke it. So now he's on crutches and a boot. And I don't know who the scarecrow is on this end. Somehow or another, that one got in there. But no, I'm talking about the one on the end. The blonde-headed one. But these people were so appreciative. And the DOT inspector, there was where we had unloaded some of it. They were still unloading, and there was a lot of it back up in here. And they brought in another pastor, so they're going to divide it between two churches and get it out to these people. The DOT inspector that got us connected, he cried nearly the whole time we were there. And I told him, I said, would you please stop crying? I don't have any extra makeup with me. Please stop your crying. But it didn't work. He cried anyway. But they did have a child that froze to death, they were telling us about up there. So we need to keep these people in our prayers. They are really struggling. Some of them are living in tents. Some of them are living with tarps over trees. They don't even have a complete wall around them. The other night I got in the bathtub and I thought, do you know how lucky I am to be able to get in a tub or a shower and have a warm bed to get in when I get finished? It's really sad. And so the toy drive that I want to do, I don't care if it's a $2 toy, a $5 toy, but I would like to have new for these kids. And let's give them, I know Christmas is not about gifts, but these kids need some kind of joy in their lives. They've lost everything. And this has been so humbling to me. I never thought when I started this that I would get two tractor trailer loads and then some. But as long as I get it, if I have to load it on a pickup, if I have to throw it in the back of my car, it'll be delivered somewhere that they need it. Thank y'all.
Thank you.
And although I have been, although I have been getting people, well, thank you, thank you, thank you. No, this isn't Cherie's name on this. It's his name on this. And let's give the glory to him.
Amen. Amen. And we just about have at least probably a big truckload to take to a church down below Bristol. So we'll be doing that pretty soon. And the church was real appreciative of the offering, and they're handling it right. And I like that. I like the good accountability. So anyway, we appreciate you guys being here today. Amen. So let's receive the tithe and offering. And after that, little Cherie's pumpkins go down to the fellowship.
Coleman here again. So glad that you've tuned in today to the service. I'm going to be preaching a message talking about digging again the wells of our fathers. You know, oftentimes in life, the enemy comes and fills our wells up so that we can't get that water like we need it. We allow that to happen sometimes, and sometimes it's subtly. But today we're going to find out how to redig those wells again and get the flourishing and have that river of living water flowing out of our lives. So you're going to be encouraged today. You're going to be touched. So get your word, get the word of God, and let's go into that service right now, because God has something special for your life today.
Snow. But the leaves are turning. I mean, man, it's going to be beautiful outside here in a few days. Somebody say it's nice now. It's nice now. Amen. Genesis 26, verse number 18. And the Bible says, "And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them." Let's pray. Father, thank you today for your word. And Holy Spirit, I ask you to speak to me, through me, and for me today. Cause every word to come forth accurately, boldly, as you'd have it to come forth. We thank you for your precious gifts, for the anointing. Let our eyes see what you see and our ears hear what you hear. Father God, help us to be sensitive to you. We thank you for it, your gifts. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And everybody said amen. You may be seated this morning. Amen. We'll talk a few moments about digging the wells of our fathers, and I don't intend on keeping you long, because I know you probably got food on your mind or something like that today. But I'm glad that the rest of you pumpkins are here this morning. Amen. But in this scripture that we read in Genesis chapter number 26, it's really a stirring scripture when you begin to read it. There were five wells, actually, that Isaac went and redug that his father had digged. And we're not going to take the time to go into those this morning, but some things that I really feel like the Spirit of God wants to stir in our hearts today. But there's nothing like the rivers of living water that flow out of our spirit from the overflow of the Holy Ghost. We need that. Somebody say we need that. The living water of the Word, the living water of the Spirit of God. There's no living apart from those rivers. Man, I can remember as a kid growing up during the hot summer days that I couldn't wait until the evening came and we'd all grab a tube and get on the back of an old pickup and go down to the river, ride the rapids, and do some swimming. Man, it was so refreshing. But there's something about water that's just refreshing. I think about swimming, but I just like to watch the rivers flow. I like to watch the power of those rivers and the refreshing that those things bring. See, we can't live. When we think about those rivers, I want you to think about the presence of God. I know as we were standing the other day in Wilkesboro and talking to those people, we were talking about the rivers and how powerful that they were. And how that, you know, the force of those rivers came and actually removed towns, houses. But, you know, that's the way that the rivers are. When you get in the pathway of a river, everything moves. Somebody say, everything moves, everything shifts. I know that's in a bad sense, but when God's river comes, you got to think of it in a good sense. That when that river begins to flow, that it if it takes away anything, it takes away the debris, it takes away the things that the enemy has placed in our life. It blasts those things away, while at the same time it brings refreshing to us. Isn't it amazing that river of God can carry away the enemy, but at the same time bring life into us and refresh us? Somebody say yes, amen. So it's our focus on the living things, the rivers that really touch our lives, that we understand that I need that river of God flow. And so one of the ways we look at this is like, well, I know that Jesus said, out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water. How do we know that we're full? How do we know that we're filled with Spirit? We know by the overflow. Amen. It's like this. You can't always give out with having something come in. But did you know when you give, you receive? When you get in God's presence, when you begin to call upon His name, when you begin to pray, you're actually getting that river refilled. Somebody's saying overflow, an overflow. Without the living water of God, we languish in life. We have to have it. Somebody say, I have to have the river. I have to have His river. Amen. It's like songs that we sing, get in the river. Somebody say, get in the river. Get in the river. See, that river is the difference between life and death. It's the difference between success and failure. That river is the difference between defeat and triumph. God tells us in His Word that He will come like a flood and blast away all the work of the enemy. We need that river working in our lives. Somebody say, yes, yes. So that flood is the well of living waters. Think about what Jesus said when you're born again. He said, when you get born again, it's like a spring of water springing up into everlasting life. And when He talked about the baptism of the Spirit, He said, it's like rivers of water flowing out of your innermost being. Somebody say, I need the river. I need the river. You know, to own a well in the Scriptures and to possess the surrounding country were like synonymous. Because wells are so important to people. You have to have a well to survive. And so when we read this scripture, and I want to read it again to you in Genesis chapter 26, verse number 18. And Isaac, listen to this, and Isaac, Abraham's son, and Isaac dug again the wells of water which had been dug in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. And he gave them the names by which his father had called them. What a significant story. When you read that, I think so often in life that we really pass by it. But it's interesting to me that after Abraham died, after this great patriarch of old, the one that God gave Isaac to him at the age of 100, this man that God made a covenant with and said, I'm going to bless your seed as the sand of the sea, and I'm going to bless you as the stars of heaven. This man that God came to and visited, that angels visited, this man, you see, he had a reputation. Somebody say he had a reputation. Can I tell you this morning that we're called the seed of Abraham and we have a reputation? Somebody said, what was that reputation? Because everybody knew that the favor of God was with Abraham. Those nations that were around knew that Abraham had a relationship with the living God. And so the enemy learned to fear him because God was taking care of him and God's blessing was upon his life. I think that reputation is so important. So likening to us today as the seed of Abraham, we have a reputation because of the Lord Jesus Christ that came through that seed. Somebody say amen. Our reputation should be this. Enemy fear, because my God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and the Father of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let all the enemies of God fear, because he that touches me touches the anointing. And God said, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. Let the enemy know this morning and understand that as the seed of Abraham and as a son of God, that no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. And every mouth that rises against me in judgment, I will condemn it in Jesus' name. I want my adversary to know that as sure as there's a star in the heaven and a grain of sand on the earth, that my blessing is tied to that because of Abraham. Somebody say hallelujah. See, I want my adversary to know today that no matter where he's at, and I know that he's listening in the airwaves, we may not be able to see him, but I want him to know that the angel of the Lord encamps round about me and delivers me because I fear my God. I want my adversary to know that I have a reputation, that my God is for me. He's not against me. He goes before me. He is my rear guard. He's everywhere. He's protecting me at all times. And the Holy One of Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's always watching over me. And so when you talk about Abraham, when Abraham died, the Bible said that the Philistines came and filled up the wells that Abraham had dug. Isn't it amazing that the adversary waited, this enemy waited, the Philistines waited until Abraham died? Because they were thinking, well, Isaac is not going to be like Abraham, and maybe the hand of God is not going to rest on Abraham like it, you know, on Isaac like it did Abraham. And just maybe, you know, we can go down and begin to intimidate him and mess with him and fill those wells up, and he's not going to do anything about it. But they found out real quick, you don't mess with Isaac either, because his daddy is Abraham. Somebody say amen. And I love this because the Bible said that Isaac went and dug again. Somebody say he dug again the wells of Abraham. See, the Philistines stand for those forces of negation. They come to nullify the things of God in our life. Because every well stood for a blessing, because in order for Abraham and his family and Isaac and his family to survive, they had to have those wells. And so the Philistines, they really thought that they could intimidate them to the point, say, hey, I'm gonna take over. I'm gonna shove you back. I'm gonna take everything that Abraham had gained, all the land that he had walked. I'm standing defiance against you, and you're not gonna have this. I am a Philistine and you won't have it. But I thank God that Isaac was the kind of man that had something passed on to him from his father Abraham. But more than that, God came to him and reaffirmed this covenant that he had given to Abraham. He said, look, your daddy was a great man, but I want you to know something. You're just as important to me as he was, because you're carrying on the legacy. You're carrying on this seed in the earth. And Isaac, I'm going to be with you just like I was him, and I'm going to bless your seed the same way. And I'm going to stand against your enemies. I'm going to stand against every adversary that comes against you. I am your God. See that reaffirmation of that. gave Isaac exactly what he needed in life to go redig the wells. I believe when he walked up to the first one and saw it full, he said, this ain't gonna do. He got his servants and began to cast the rocks out and the debris out. He got to the next well. Somebody say it was the same thing. Said, we're not going to have this. Began to cast the rocks out. Began to get rid of the debris that the enemy had placed in those wells. And see, that's the way that the enemy works. He always wants to fill up and mess up your well. Somebody say, I'm not going to have my well messed up. Not going to do it in Jesus' name. You see, I remember as a little boy growing up, most families in the area had to hand dig their wells. Now, that may date who I am, but I remember this. And so I can remember my dad starting a well in the backyard about probably 75 or 100 feet away, and he began to dig that well. And he got down, and as a little boy, I would go over, and I didn't want to get too close to the edge because that thing was probably about 6 feet around. And I remember the deeper he got, the darker it got. And he probably got down about 30 feet, and when he got down to 30 feet, he hit rock. And you know what he had to do? He had to get some dynamite. And he put dynamite in that well, and he put a fuse down to it, and he got up, and he said, now, you need to go get behind something because we don't know what's going to come out of this well. And so he lit the fuse, and you know, that thing, in a few minutes, kaboom. And then he had to climb down in the well, and he had to remove the rock, and he had to remove the debris. And then finally, somebody say, finally, he hit the flow of water in that well. Praise God. After he hit that flow of water, you know, it began to come up to a certain level because that's the way wells do. And so back then what you did is you went ahead and you built your well structure and you got a windlass and you put that in there and you got a rope and you tied it around there and you nailed it. And that rope, you put a bucket on the end of the rope and you had that windlass wound up tight and you would let it go. And that bucket would go all the way down through that darkness and you could hear it ka-plunk. And then you wound that thing back up. And that thing was full of water. Now, the thing about wells is that I know enough to know this, is that they can get debris in them after a while. You got to take care of them. You got to maintain them. Sometimes you have to purify them, put them through a purification process. And you have to make sure that the sides don't cave in, so you stucco or you brick or whatever that you do around your well to make sure that it is functioning properly. And so with that analogy, I want you to understand that that well that you have in your life has to be maintained. Somebody said it has to be maintained. You got to pull the maintenance on it. You got to make sure that it's all right. And so I want to just kind of touch on a few things this morning in the light of time. One of the things that I need, that I think that we need to redig, is the well of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Especially with the doctrine of cessation that has floated around so much over this past year from certain denominations and that believe that the gifts of the Spirit and those things have passed away and there's no such thing as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And I want to tell them right now, I am not at the mercy of their argument. I have the experience and he is real. And I thank God today that I have this river on the inside of me. I'm thinking about Jesus in John chapter number 7 when he was at the feast. And the Bible said that he jumped up. He got so excited. And he said, let me think. God might be talking to me right here. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. All right. Okay. Listen to me. There's somebody that needs a miracle. And it's to the place that you have become so depressed and down that you think that it cannot happen. And God is saying today, He said, you need to dig deep in your faith and you need to recultivate some things that you've allowed to slip where the adversaries come in and thrown debris on top of that. Because he says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And mark this right now, because God says that if you'll get in my word and if you'll read what it says about healing and if you'll stand on what it says about faith, he says, that will come to pass. He said, I will take that thing that is dead and raise it back up again. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. But Jesus jumped up and said, Lord, what are you messing with me or something today? I'm like, no, listen, he's talking to you. He's talking to you. You need, whether this is the husband and wife or whoever, you need to sit down and say, look, this is what God said, and this is the way that it's going to be. We are not going to put up with this sickness anymore. We're not going to tolerate it. We speak to it and say, get out of my house in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. All right. And Jesus jumped up and said, as the scripture has said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. For this he spake of the Spirit which had not been poured out yet. See, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is important. Somebody say he is important. He is important. And he was speaking of the power of God. The Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, we know the scripture. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall receive what? Power. Everybody say, power, power, power. See, we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. See, I need him. I need him. And I want you to think about this now, because the Philistines came after Abraham had died and cast those rocks and things and filled up those wells. Isaac had to take the initiative to go back and dig them out again. I want to say to the preceding generations that are coming today, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost like we have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You need to see the things of God that we have seen in our lifetime. And so when I talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'm not talking about a few shundies and just speaking in tongues and being able to do that. I'm talking about operating and moving in the power of the Spirit of God. Somebody say amen. You know, when I began to read the scripture after I was born again, I got so excited when I got up to Jesus, where he said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do, because I go to my Father who is in heaven. And I was already reading about the miracles and the blind seeing and the lame walking and him casting out devils and walking on the water and doing all of these great things. And I was thinking to myself, I have been robbed over the years because nobody told me about this stuff that I'm reading in the Bible, because all I heard was dead words, saw dead works, and saw no power. Come on. In the churches that I was in as a child and being raised up. But what I read in the scripture after I was born again was totally different. I found out that Jesus says, hey, you can walk like I walk. You can talk like I talk. You can do what I do. And so I have something for you. And what is it? It's Acts chapter 1, verse number 8 and 9, when he says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Remember what John the Baptist said? He said, I indeed baptize you with water, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I am. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Somebody say, and with fire. And then in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit fell, remember that scripture on the day of Pentecost, when it was fully come, they were all in one place and one mind and one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they all spake with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Somebody say amen. I just want to say this right here. It's important for you to understand today, because there's another doctrine emerging that's saying that you do not have to speak in tongues to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you, in every instance in the Bible, when they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they spake with other tongues. Somebody said, why is that important? Because number one, it proves that Jesus rose from the dead. He ascended to the Father. The Father poured out his Spirit. Jesus has baptized you in the Holy Ghost, and that he's still alive just like he said he was. Come on. And that he's still doing today what he did yesterday, and he'll still be doing it tomorrow. The thing about the affirmation of speaking in tongues is the evidence that he has arrived. Somebody say amen. Now, I'm not talking about a good feeling and shaking all over and that kind of stuff, because there are many manifestations of the Spirit of God. But what you want is the manifestation that you've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you have spoken with other tongues. That's such a powerful thing. Somebody say a powerful thing. Because immediately you have to understand, when they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, these divided, fearful believers were fused into a unity they had not previously possessed. They become as one in faith and in spirit, and they stood up. Here's old vacillating Peter. Jesus denying Peter, and he gets up and preaches the first sermon, and 3,000 are gathered into the church. What does he preach? He preaches to the people that were he was fearful of and that he was afraid that were going to kill him, and he preached Jesus unto them, and he didn't hold back anything. Come on now. What did they accuse them of? They said, well, these people are drunk on new wine. That's what spawned the message. And Peter said, these men are not drunk like you think they are. He said, they just had a river dumped into them. They are intoxicated and inebriated by the Holy Ghost of heaven, the third person of the Trinity. And they've been baptized in the Spirit. He said, and the devil has a problem now, because that man by the name of Jesus, when he was baptized in water and the heavens opened up and the Spirit of God came down upon him, and a voice came out of heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then in Luke chapter number 4, the Bible said that Jesus went in the power of the Spirit. Come on now. Whipped the devil on every account when he was tempted of him and returned in the power of the Spirit. Listen. Jesus is our prototype. Somebody say, he's my prototype. After he received the baptism. So that's why I tell you the devil has a problem, is because look at all the millions of people that have been baptized in the Holy Ghost and are alive and well right now on this planet in the body of Christ. Somebody say, we need that. We need that. So we need to redig again the well that says, I need to speak with other tongues. If I receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I don't ever want to doubt this. And I can tell you right now, my friend, I was one of those people that was like, no, it'll never happen to me. I couldn't stand for people to pray for me because I was just so sensitive to everything that was around me. Didn't want anybody touching me or anything. Just let me pray. Just let me pray. Just let me pray. But I was so hungry for that baptism of the Holy Ghost. I wanted him in my private prayer devotional time, and all the reading that I did in the scripture said, God, I want that. I want that power. I need that power. I want the Holy Ghost. I need that baptism of fire, God. I want that. And one night at the end of a prayer meeting in a church, I was going up to get prayed for something. Don't even remember what it was. But at the end of that prayer line, all of a sudden I started shaking and trembling, and I started speaking with other tongues, and it happened right there. Come on now. I want to tell you that we need to redig the well again. Because from that time forward, I saw God heal people. I saw devils driven from people's lives. I saw the Lord begin to show up in ways that I'd never seen him show up before. And so I got in. You know what I was doing? I was digging the wells of my fathers that had dug the well before me. I said, my God, this thing is real. But what I'm seeing in Christendom, it's not there. And I need to get out and start redigging the well. Come on, somebody say, I need to redig the well, because I want it redug for my kids, my children, my children's children. I want this well dug again so that our children's children can experience it. Somebody say amen. See, God's promise is this. The promise is for you and to them that are far off. And it's for your children and your children's children and as many as the Lord our God shall call. God wants you to know it's for the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Catholic, the Pentecostal, the Charismatic. If you called on the name of Jesus and you're born again, God wants you filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen. He does. I remember some of the first manifestations I began to see God working when I, you know, began to read over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 when Paul says in that scripture, he said, now, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning spiritual things, spiritual gifts, or things of the Spirit. And he goes throughout that chapter and begins to name the gifts of the Spirit and talk about the manifestations and the demonstration of God's power and how those things work. And he began to tell the gifts of the Spirit. He said, there's a word of knowledge. There's a word of wisdom. There's a discerning of spirits. There's a gift of faith. There's a working of miracles. There are gifts of healings. There are tongues, interpretation of tongues. And there's prophecy. And I said, well, if they're in there and they're for me, I want that. I had to dig a little bit deeper. See, you got to dig. Somebody say, I got to dig in my well. If they're not operating in you today, you need to start digging in the well is what I'm telling you. This is what the Lord is saying. He said, because number one, you need to hear the voice of God today. The word of God is that he's saying the world in which we are living in needs you to go out in the demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. And you got to dig in the well to find the manifestation of the Spirit of God. And so the Philistines have came and tried to fill those wells up. Well, that's not for today. You know, they passed away with the apostles. Excuse me. And they say 12. There's about 28 listed in the scripture. Oh, that passed away with the apostles. Excuse me, the apostles alive today. Prophets alive today. Come on. The enemy would like for us to believe the lies that he puts out there. Because he wants a powerless church. He wants a church that's trembling in the trenches and full of fear and full of doubt. I hear people say all the time, I even heard it the other day, man, I don't know what we're going to do. I'm like, yes, I know what I'm going to do. I know what I'm going to do. Because he gave me a tongue to pray in too. Hello? Because when I pray in the spirit, hell's best cryptologist can't break the code. I'm praying directly to my Father in heaven. See, where does that come out of? It comes out of an overflow. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. If I want the gifts of the Holy Ghost, I got to dig down and remove debris out of my life and say, number one, I have to do what Paul told me to do. He said what? Desire spiritual gifts. Where'd you get that at? I dug in the well. I started digging in the well. I don't know about you, but I'd love to see the power of God hit this place and people fall out in the floor, fall out in the spirit. People get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Everybody that needed a healing, get one. And everybody that needed a miracle, get one. And I would like to see what happened here, what has happened in some of those great awakenings, that within a 50-mile radius, people fell out in the Holy Ghost in their houses and in their homes. And people got healed of all kinds of diseases and delivered from the powers of darkness. You're talking about wiping out drugs. Wouldn't it be awesome if they had a drug deal going down? Somebody's in a tractor trailer and they got Uzis and AR-15s and they're standing there because they're afraid that the police are going to show up for the fire of God to fall and them to have us look up and see a big old angel standing there with a sword drawn. And they would think, are you the police? He said, no, I'm the captain of the army of the host of the Lord. That's who I am. And I advise you to put your weapons down right now because I'm here to let you know that Jesus wants you to turn your life around. Somebody say we need some of that to happen. See, a praying church is one that understands I don't operate in the flesh. I got to operate in the spirit. I don't operate in the natural. I operate in the supernatural. And I need something supernatural to happen in my nation, in my city, in my home, in my own life. And I'm going to dig in that well until those things begin to get stirred up in me in Jesus' name. Amen. My God. See, begin to get those things activated. The Philistines came. It's not enough that I can look back in history and find great men of God. The Peter Cartwrights, the Charles Finneys, the John Wesleys, to look back and see the Catherine Kuhlmans or the Oral Roberts, or to look back and see the Billy Sundays, or to look back and see the T.L. Lowrys or the T.L. Osbornes, or to look back and see these great men of faith, or to go back to the Reformation period and see the great men of God like Martin Luther or John Wycliffe or John Huss and the Anabaptist, those people that will be celebrating on October the 31st, not Halloween, but you need to celebrate what? What? Reformation Day. Because we would not have what we have today if it had not been for that Reformation period. Somebody say amen. See, I'm telling you, if we let the devil come in and fill up our wells, we're going to lose something in the past that the devil didn't want us to have. Why would he be trying to cover it up to begin with? Why would he be throwing debris in on it if he didn't want us to find it? I'm going to tell you, we need to redig again the wells of our fathers in the name of Jesus. We need to dig those wells up and say, I'm going to walk in that dynamic power from on high and move and flow in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell people their secrets through the Spirit of God, and God is going to bring salvation and revival through the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen. My God. Dear Lord Jesus, you know, we need to be able to look back in history, because you know what rivers do? Rivers are like topography. You can look down and you can see that river where its mark is on the earth. That's the same way it should be with us, because I'm a river. You're a river. Come on, somebody say, I'm a river. I'm a river. I'm a river. The Holy Ghost is on the inside of me, and I am a river in Jesus' name. I need to dig that up. I'm reminded of some of the things that, you know, that the Lord has blessed me to be able to see over the years. And you walk away going, my God, how did that even happen? How did that take place? Where did that come from? I remember the first revival that I ever preached. And man, I was in there. I had dug in deep, man. I was in there digging in the well. I was digging throughout the scriptures, digging in the miracles of Jesus, digging about the miracles in the men and women of God's lives that I had seen made manifest. I was digging and digging and digging. And I was in there digging in prayer, digging in deep, because we need to redig again the well of prayer as well. In that place, in that bedroom, praying. I can still see myself there as a young man at that bed, just in there praying seeking God. That night when I went to service to preach, the Holy Ghost fell in that house as I was ministering the word, had not given an altar call, and there was the whole church got up and ran to the altar and got in the altar and began to repent and call out to God. And I'm sitting there going, I'm the only one out in the congregation now. Everybody else is at the altar, and I'm sitting there going, God, what is this? He said, you've just redug a well that needed to be opened in this house. Somebody say amen. See, I'm a firm believer that if we tap into that power, if we redig the well, that means I got to get my heart stirred up, my soul stirred up, that I've got to get myself in realignment with God. My heart's got to begin to get broken, and I've got to humble myself. I've got to come to him and say, I want that. I need that. I'm in need of power from on high. My life is in shambles. I'm broken. I'm messed up. Will you pour out your spirit upon me, Jesus? I need a turnaround. Somebody say, I need a turnaround. And see, that's the thing about digging that well. I walked away from that meeting that night, and I was thinking to myself, God, where did that come from? What happened? What happened? And God says, when man gets out of the way, I can get in the way. Amen? That same church, about three nights later, they had a problem in that thing that, you know, that I didn't know anything about. There was a man, get this, they had a man in there, they had crowned king of the prophets. It was nothing but a group of women that were down washing his feet, doing all this kind of stuff. And they were trying to pull a spiritual coup in the church. And I remember preaching that night, and I began to think about the music, and I think this is the deadest music I think I've ever heard in my life in a church. So the third night, somebody say Resurrection Day. On the third night, I remember turning around and I pointed my finger to that organ player. I said, you play something with some life in it tonight. And that was it. I turned around, began to minister people to the altar, and God was just healing and just working and baptizing people in the Holy Ghost. That man left that church and never came back. I come to find out, the pastor talked to me and he said, you're not going to believe this, but that man has created such a problem for us. He said the women are all hailing him as the king of the prophets, and they have crowned him and did all this stuff. And they said also said, well, I let him stay in my house, you know, a few months ago, and I heard chains and voices. And then that night, and even after he left, I heard chains and voices, and I said, by the Spirit of God, you're never going to hear him again. That man has never been back to that church to this day. Somebody say hallelujah. My God. Somebody say the Holy Ghost will run the devil out. If you get your river flowing, that Holy Ghost river will take your adversary out. Somebody say yes, he will. We need to redig again the wells. Somebody say dig deep in the wells. Dig in the well. See, your adversary is constantly wanting to throw the debris in. And when he comes to throw the debris in, you can't allow yourself to get upset. You got to say, you put that in my well. You foul devil. You come and get that back out. Make him come back and get it. So you're not leaving it laying here. You get that out of my well and you get out of here right now in Jesus' name. You got to tell him. Somebody say, you have to tell the devil. You got to tell him. If you don't want him in your house or in your back bedroom, if you don't want him in your kid's bedroom, you need to go in there and look and see what's in it. Look in the cabinets, look under the cover, look under the bed, look in the hiding places. You might be surprised what you find out. If your river's not flowing in your house, then something is wrong. The Philistines have came in and begin to hide stuff. I couldn't tell you the times that I've been through my house to look and search and try to find things to get that stuff out. Because I can tell immediately when something comes in my house that's not supposed to be there. That's the way that we should live. Somebody say, I need my river flowing. I need my river flowing. The same thing with this house. We've got to have the river flowing. We need discerning of the spirits. We need the word of wisdom. We need the word of knowledge to keep a swept, clean house. Somebody say amen. We need the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and gifts of healing so that everybody's healthy and whole and nobody has a need. Somebody say glory to God. We need tongues interpretation and prophecy in the house so that people can be edified and built up. Amen. Somebody say the gifts are great. You need the gifts, but you need the fruit too. Somebody say, you fruity thing, you. Says your name, Fruity Tootie. Somebody say, I need my well. I need the well. I love this right here. Listen. Romans 8, verses 11 through 14. But if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, bring alive, put life where there's death, your mortal body, by his spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh. Your flesh might say, man, I want that piece of chocolate cake. And you think about how many times your flesh wins. That pecan pie. But your spirit man might say, I want a piece of that Jesus. I want to get soaked in his presence. I want to be overflowing with his manifest presence. So we don't owe anything to the flesh, but we do owe things to the spirit. Amen. For if you live after the flesh, you'll die. But if you through the spirit put to death the deeds of your body, you'll live. For as many as are led by the spirit. The next line is the big one. They are the sons of God. My God. I'm getting ready to quit here in just a few seconds. I'm a son of God. Do you understand? Being a son of God, a joint heir with Christ in God, puts you on such a different level. That we strive in this life. I got to have this person. I got to have that house. I've got to have that car. I've got to be a part of this elite group. I got to have the social life. I've got to have this. Do you understand how horizontal that really is? It's never satisfying. It always runs out. It's so shallow. So pretentious. But when you get in Christ and you become baptized in the Spirit, do you understand that everything that you'll ever need is tied to that power? He has given you a hotline directly to the Father. That when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you're communicating directly to him. Hell can't understand it. You're speaking in an unknown language. You're speaking in a heavenly tongue, a prayer life that God has given to you. And when you pray that way, you're praying God's perfect will. You're going to marry the perfect person. Amen. You're going to be blessed in life. God is going to supply everything that you'll ever need. But you know what else comes with the blessing? Persecution. That's as much a promise as anything else. If you can take the heat, I said, if you can take the heat, you can have the blessing. Look at somebody and say, well, I'm taking the heat. I'm taking my blessing. Isaac looked at his daddy and he said, my dad was a well digger. He never lost cattle. He never lost land. He never lost servants. They were all well taken care of because he was a well digger. I was telling somebody the other day, and I thank God for this. You know, we're talking about, visiting hospitals. I said, thank God. I haven't had to do a lot of that over the years. Because all my people have basically been really healthy and blessed. Once in a while. But you go to some churches and every week they got 15 people in the hospital. See, the blessing of God, it's a blessing of God to have health. Amen. It's the blessing of God. But I'm going to tell you something else. It's also the presence in the house. We miss that. It's how much that you allow the lordship of the Holy Spirit to take place in the house. See, if we make him Lord in the house, that's exactly what the scripture tells us to do. Allow the Holy Spirit, which is the Parakletos, the one like Jesus in every sense of the word. Allow the Parakletos to be Lord in the house. We have health and we have life, but it also carries over the spirit realm. We need to redig this well. I said we need to redig it. I'm getting ready to close. I'm reminded, you know, that growing up, we're pretty wild in local church. Because, man, we prayed, we believed God. We'd go practice it. We'd go out to the parking lots and, you know, to the flea markets and tell people about Jesus and go down to the grocery stores. You never know if you're going to get threatened or told you were going to get killed or somebody wanting to kill you or so forth. And, you know, but then on the other hand, you may see God touch somebody, heal somebody, win somebody to Jesus. The thing about it is like when you pray, somebody say when you pray, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you can't sit still. You just can't because he's on the inside. I challenge you. You go right now, go to the Dan or go to the Mayo, and you go to get your 2x4 and try to stop that thing. That river's going to laugh at you. Are you listening to me? Because if that river gets strong enough, it's going to take you and your 2x4 down it. So we need to redig again the well. Amen. Redig the well. Mike's got it right there, buddy. Redig the well. So we're praying for rain. In the time of rain. That God will make bright clouds. And that he'll pour out the rain of heaven, the early and the latter rain in the first month. That there'll be such a deluge of the Holy Ghost that comes. It's like the vision that I saw in that book. Right here. Standing up here. The back doors burst open. And all the souls that were outside swept in instantly. That's what the river does. Because the river is a soul getter. We need to believe God for that. I want you to stand with me this morning. Jennifer, come on up, please. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Maybe you're not filled with the Holy Spirit this morning. You can be. You can be. Jesus says all you got to do is ask. All you have to do is ask. Need to dig in that well. Because listen to me. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. The Bible says, but peace, righteousness, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Are you drawing joy from the well? Are you in some toxic well of the world? Because there is a difference. Because your life should be marked with joy through the Holy Spirit. And your life should be overflowing with blessing from the holy presence of God. Because that river you got on the inside of you will take care of everything that you're facing. Because he's the power, not you. He's the force and the might of God, not you. And he flows wherever that we allow him to flow and moves wherever that we allow him to move. Out of your belly, I can send a belly full of prayer like a river into somebody's house. I can send a belly full of prayer through that river into the school, university, into a city, into a nation. I can send that out of my spirit. Out of my belly flows rivers of living water. Out of your belly flows rivers of living water. But if the river's not flowing, you got to dig it. Dig it again. Dig deep. I want to ask you a question. What's your well producing? What is your well producing? Sadness, misery, pain, heartache, death. What's your well producing? Because the well of God produces nothing but life. I'm reminded of the old song, "There's a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk, the blind to see, opens prison doors, sets the captive free. There is a river of life flowing out of me." That river is what you need. Now you can go smoke your pot if you want to. You can go ahead and get drunk. Do what you can go out there and find you a man. You can find you a woman. But I'm going to tell you, it ain't changing nothing. What changes things is when you come to Jesus. And you say, "Lord, I'm broken, I'm messed up, and I need help. God, my life is just on a pile of rocks. The Philistines have come and filled in the well. Do you want to change?" This is how you get it. You say, "Lord Jesus, forgive me of every sin. Make me whole again. And fill me with the Holy Ghost. Fill me up and overflow my life. Because I've tried myself to fix it, to make myself feel good, to have joy, to have peace. And Lord, all I do is keep washing up on the rocks. Just a bunch of rocks." So right now, in Jesus' name, do you want it to change? I want you to come to this altar. Meet me at this altar. Meet me at this altar. Meet me and some of these intercessors at this altar. Meet me here today. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you come down and meet me at this altar. You will be filled today. Your life will change today. My God, when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost that night, my life changed. I was already on fire and loved Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, man, it went from 5 to 10 real quick. So what do you need today? You think you can't do it, and you're exactly right. Quit trying to do it yourself. Quit making excuses for yourself. Your God that loves you paid the price for everything you're ever going to need. So I challenge you right now to come and say, "Well, I'm going to give Jesus a try. Make him Lord. I need this Christ. I need this baptizer with the Holy Ghost. I need him in my life. I'm tired of my wells getting filled up by the Philistines. I'm tired of trying to fix it myself. I want you to come in Jesus' name. Come, come. Meet us and these intercessors down here today. Meet us here. Because God's going to change your life. He will change it in Jesus' name. I've never seen a person that really meant business with God that didn't get changed instantly by the power of his presence, by his spirit. Today. And ask God, when you come to this altar, say, "God, I mean business. I mean business. You know me, God. I can't lie to you. You already know everything about me. You see me. You know where I'm at. There's nothing I can hide from you." Get honest with him and say, "Father, I need you to fix this. God, I don't want to be this man anymore. I want to be a new creation. I want a brand new man right here, or woman right here." And let him do it. Let him do it. Let him do it. Fear will tell you can't. Your mind will tell you can't. The devil will definitely tell you that you can't. But I'm here to tell you, oh yes, you can. You can. How can you fail if you get God in you? How can you fail? It's impossible. If you want that change, I want you to come. If you need that baptism of the Holy Ghost, I want you to come. Come, come. Let it be the brand new beginning, a brand new beginning, a brand new life right now in Jesus' name. A brand new start right now. I want you to come. I want you to come. You can do it. My God, if I did it, I think anybody can do it. Lord, have mercy. If I did it, anybody can do it. Join these down here.